I'm Amy.
I'm Delia.
And I'm Wendell. And welcome to
Yes
But
Why
Podcast. Yeah.
The early morning, like, jock jam shit if that you we listen do, to in traffic.
And then we do the, we have the xylophone background, but then it's like, boo, boo, bing.
She's so good.
All we need is three notes. Come on. I'll get you a rainbow xylophone.
That sounds like
and you're in.
Yeah.
Welcome to 9 o'clock, or 93.7, with glasses, glasses, and glasses.
We know you can't see us, but that's what's happening.
Our guest on the show today, more glasses.
Speaking of which, welcome, Colin, to the Yes But Why podcast. Happy to have you. Any idea what you're in for?
No. Great. Wendell said it was about art.
Ish. Well, like, we try to stick to that. Sometimes we...
Yeah.
The thing is like, we follow the tangent of the thought, so it's like... Mm-hmm. Normally, a question leads to some dirt road that we'll go down that we may or may not be happy that we did.
Cool.
And
I've only cut out a couple of things.
Yeah, like, the past couple of ones have just stopped being about art pretty quickly and just more just got, like, just friends talking.
the other thing that's interesting that sort of led us to call it Yes But Why had to do with the idea of, you know, we're in an artistic lifestyle, and that generally lends to being a little bit more interested in figuring out why things happen. And so we interview people who have artistic lifestyles and then just chat about life and follow the paths of why would you do that? Why? And that's why Wendell always has these really intense questions. So you got one? You got one, like, on the...
Sure. Because, like, I've talked about saying this one, but I've never got the actual...
Nope, we're doing it.
The nerve to do it.
All right.
And I think I've posed this to you guys, like, after. Let's say that a scenario is played out to where your partner and your father have switched bodies.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And the only way to switch them back is to have sex with one of them. What do you do? Pop quiz, hotshot.
So it's like Freaky Friday?
It's like Freaky Friday.
But you know?
You know, and they know. Because they're not in their own bodies.
They know.
I think it's worse if they don't know. Like they just have no idea why you're having... Like, your dad's like, why are you doing this?
They would know, because they could go to the mirror and be like, oh, I'm his dad now.
Yeah, that's how they figure it out.
They're
in this weird magical universe, maybe that's something they can't do. Maybe they look in the mirror and they see themselves.
I would roofie myself.
Okay. And then just hope one of them...
Oh, we'd have to make some kind of arrangement.
See, I was thinking...
Roofie myself.
I don't want to remember.
No, roofie's all around, but let's say that's cheating.
Why?
I think you can only roofie one person.
Me. I'm roofieing me.
But you're the one that has to do the fucking...
Okay, if somebody's roofied, just throwing this out there, if somebody's roofied, why not roofie the boyfriend and then he passes out, he's the boyfriend... You do it to him.
See, I would roofie my dad in my boyfriend's body because...
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, that's logical.
Hey, it looks like my boyfriend.
Because then you look
my
like it's your boyfriend.
Yeah, like, just straight chloroform him and take it down. But that's pretty much what I think I would do. And just in the sense of, like, try to make it very, you know, gentle so that I don't wake them either, you know? Because that would suck. You just wake up, find your child doing that.
I mean, but would it be that crazy if you were like aware that the only way to solve the problem that you're in was that your like child had to have sex potentially with you? And I know that it's horrible, but I'm just saying, it's either like, hey, you know, I'm gonna be honest, if I were the dad, I'd be like, listen, I'm cool with this. I don't need to switch your nice
body.
I'm fine. I don't see why we need to do this. In fact, I feel like the dad would disappear.
Yeah,
he'd never be able to do it with him.
It's like, depending
on... proposing is unethical, so I therefore going to Mexico.
It's like, well, my partner's a coward, so I wouldn't even be able to get my hands on him before he just, you know, disappeared.
That's a rough question.
Yeah, see, it's...
I wonder if then... Okay, say the dad in the young body disappears because he's like, sweet.
when immediately your partner in the body of your dad loves you and tries to like get back and is like, but baby, don't you love me even no matter what I look like? And you're like, well, literally you could look like anything, but not this one.
Except
thing.
For that one.
This yeah. one yeah. particular yeah, look.
Pretty bad.
That would be the sad post, would be the guy walking down the street alone.
Just make no him one get cosmetic him. Surgery.
to look like anything else.
Yeah, to look like literally, I don't know, just move your nose over here and I don't know. Yeah.
Well, they do those.
Shave the mustache. Dye your hair.
Well, it's just like, hey, go.
You gotta put some effort.
Put glasses on him.
Yeah.
I'll never figure it
whatever,
out.
Whatever, go enjoy retired life. You know? Like, you know, like you went from 20 to not having to do anything now you get a pension. Get, like, back off. But.
Ouch.
Then
he has to go do it with your mom.
That's what I would do if I were put in that scenario.
I'm sorry, you'd do it with your mom?
No, like if that happened to my girlfriend and I got switched in the body with her dad.
What?
Like, if I were on the receiving end of this being a bad thing, you know, like, if it were my girlfriend being put in a scenario where her boyfriend and her dad had switched bodies,
mm-hmm.
I would threaten to go sleep with her mom to get her dad to, like, get in line with this whole thing. Like,
it's very complicated.
Yeah. I know, but I mean, why not, like, why not just open up every opportunity here to talk about
I think you should write a treatment and sell it to Universal.
What? There were 7 or 8 of these movies made. I mean, I remember the one with Fred Savage.
Fucking, though.
And then they had one with Kirk Cameron. So I'm just saying, and Dudley Moore, and I feel like there's a lot of, you know, you could do this.
It's not really a body switching movie, but Hall I watched
Pass.
13 going on
That's
30.
That's another one?
Yeah.
Hall Pass.
Yeah, it's got...
No.
Jason Bateman.
And Ryan Reynolds. But
and they switch.
Oh, God, you're right.
No, that was just called The Switch.
Hall no, Pass that's the a different one. Different. The Switch is a different movie. The Switch is where...
Jason Bateman and Jennifer Aniston get friends.
Yeah, and then...
I thought Hall Pass was the Jason Sudeikis one where it's
the
like...
The Fairley Brothers.
You're right, yeah.
Where they get Hall Passes from their wives to go sleep with somebody else.
It's Jason Sudeikis.
That's Jason Sudeikis. Not Jason Bateman.
I would have swore it was The Switch or The Swap or...
Wait, is there one called The
Switcheroo?
God.
But in none of these movies do the people end up having sex with them.
Yeah, they don't have to...
There's no sex.
...have sex. It's all a problem.
That comes up sometimes. Like, I'm pretty sure in The Swap it was like...
Freaky situations, but it's not like you have to do them to get your partner back or anything.
Yeah, that's an unusual condition. What's the, like, moral connection, you think? You know what I mean? Like, you pose this question, what's the, like, thing that we're, I don't know, learning or...
I don't know. I think the real answer is to murder them both and bury the lamp back where you found it and just walk away and just start a new
life.
There's
a lamp?
I think, or whatever thing. I would think a genie, did this to you, because genies are bad sometimes. Mm. Or you could have just really worded a wish just so
genies
terribly
love
that didn't that happen.
Granting wishes in a really literal or very bad way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're in it for that. They're tricksters, for sure. They're not in it for, providing people with a good time.
Like, if that happens, yeah, it's just like, all right, so we just walk away. We just all just, this is, we'll never see each other again. And we just figure our shit out, you know?
The change up.
The
is
change
what
up.
It's called.
What?
Yeah, it's called the change up.
Creative name.
Their pee streams get crossed, and that's how they switch, I think.
I think like that's the most
should
like,
be a great movie, but I don't think that it is based on what I've heard.
It's really obscene. I don't know, it's kind of like there's some really just gross poop stuff in there. And
that's the Ryan Reynolds one?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Deadpool is the first Ryan Reynolds movie that I liked.
Oh no.
Hold on.
No, Ryan Reynolds is in a great movie called Buried. Which is just him in a goddamn coffin, buried alive. And he, like, wakes up in the coffin and, like, deals with it. And he's got his cell phone with him. And he's, like, turns out, I mean, like, I'm not giving much away here. But, like, you know, they establish the reasons why he's been put under there. Like, what happened? Who's messing with him? Like, but most of the movie is just him. Like, it's just this shot of him. Freaking out, doing things, and he just goes through this, like,
don't know. He does a really good job of developing this whole story just by himself. And I just really liked it. And I got, like, all this respect for him as an actor after that. I was like, hey, man, you know, they've been putting him in these crazy roles for a long time. Pays the bills. Sounds good to me. I'd do it. So who am I to judge? They could make me literally any ridiculous character, and I'd be like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got it.
If the money was good, I'd be in a lot of bad movies.
Right? So care. Who cares?
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, I don't judge. But I know he's good because Buried was great.
I wish they had those movies they had in the 90s that were just, like gross booby comedies. You know, like Adam Sandler, that Going Overboard was, like, one of his first movies, and he's just, like, this, like, goofball on a cruise, and it's just full of boobs and drinking.
More R-rated
and stuff like
comedies
that.
Would be good.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like Meatballs and stuff like that.
I'm not a big Kevin Smith fan, but...
Booty Call?
Mallrats, that's good. But it was, like, a throwback to 80s comedies.
Yeah, and it was...
You just have nudity wherever, all the time.
It just, it replaced, like, comic book dialogue with boobs or bikinis or whatever.
Mostly you don't see those too much anymore. You know what I mean? Like, ones that are... I mean, the super objectify-y ones are generally in the B-level.
Yeah, like National Lampoon's pumps out, like,
Tons through, of those. And there's a ton of American Pie crap.
Secret Holes and Walls is sort of not... Spying on people while they're changing is looked down on now.
Yeah, they're
for
not
some
into
reason,
it as much.
It was okay before.
Yeah, it was totally fine.
It was completely okay for.
We were rooting for those. Those were the heroes.
270 years of our republic.
Have you guys ever seen? And I'm sure. I feel like you probably have Trading Places.
Yeah.
So, when Trading Places, you know, the rich guy switches with the poor guy. When Eddie Murphy is in the house and he has a party in the house. There's not one, but two different ladies who are like, hey, guess what? I'm going to take my top off and be like totally surprised that you react in the way that you do to me topless as I dance for you. Two separate ladies at this party. And sometimes when I watch that scene, I think to myself, who does that? When's that happening? Now, I've seen it happen, sure, in life, but like, in the way that they put it in the movie, it was so gratuitous, just in its own way. Like, it was like, give me a context of any kind. Give me literally a person that was flirting with this woman seconds before. Give me I don't know.
Yeah, it's like
a hot tub in the scene.
It's like Daytona,
yeah.
Daytona
give me a
Beach
reason to
was
take
just
your
like,
top off.
Like, Daytona Beach was just pumping out, like, blonde bimbos, like, at a, like, max capacity, I think, in, like, the 80s and 90s. Because, like, I just remember, like, just big hair, big girls in bikinis and, like, movies where it doesn't even, like, necessarily make sense. Like, the end of Caddyshack and shit, you know, like...
No, there's a lot of, you know, feminism and they're trying to stay away from the old objectifying thing.
I mean, Budweiser commercials.
I think it's silly. I mean, like, the overall objectifying, I think, is mostly not so much.
Yeah.
But, like... Movies like the Charlie's Angels movies with Drew Barrymore or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those are both kick-ass lady movies and total objectify movies at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey man, everybody gets what they want out of this movie, right? I like watching them. They're kicking butt. They're winning. They always win. It's all good to me. I like it. Everybody they fall in love with, you know, turns out to be a bad guy. Of course. Because they're ladies. And then, you know, but there's also like ridiculous scenes at the end where they like wash a car.
Yeah.
They don't have to wash a car.
And it's like, either way, all three of those like women are like accomplished actors, so it's like they're not really lowering themselves or debasing themselves in a way that they're not like aware of, I think.
But either, I don't even think what I'm saying is like there used to be those movies like you're talking about, like Meatballs or whatever, where like women would just like run like en masse, like without their tops on, and like no character needed to be established. But now it's like, hey, and then people were mad about it because, you know, oh, hey, I'm not just boobs.
Yeah.
Let me have a character. Let this happen, whatever. Great. So that now we have these other kinds of movies. Now, some people still think it's bad or whatever, but I don't know. Everything can't be realistic.
Yeah, Murphy Brown just came through and just like really like set a new
feminism
standard.
Ruined mood.
Shoulder pads for everyone.
Also, I feel like Murphy Brown, not the catalyst of feminism.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. I don't know. She was just so serious.
More of the whipping dog of conservatives who hate feminism.
That made feminism better?
No, like Murphy Brown was like, her head was on a pike for years and years and years, and it didn't work because people liked Murphy Brown more than they liked Dan Quayle. But they tried for a really long time to be like, Murphy Brown is bad because she's a single mom. Which, like, in 2016, it's like, how did they think that was ever going to stick? What's wrong with being a single mom?
Who, like, works all the time, I think, is, like, another thing that they were mad about. Where he's, like, not even staying home or, you know. And it's like, yeah, well... And she's too successful to have a kid, kind of thing.
Well, it is interesting how now that we have access to, like, the internet and, you know, all these old shows and movies, that we're able to, like, sort of see the change in cultural acceptance for certain things. And how, like, when you watch some movies, like, what did I watch the other day? Oh, Look Who's Talking. Okay.
Love it.
Classic. Love that movie. Super classic. Really great. But the one of the funny details is, like, how upset they all get about the whole, like, her getting impregnated by, like, her, like, it's better, it was like...
Like her boss get her pregnant.
Her boss got her pregnant, and, like, that's a big problem versus getting inseminated. Like, that's what she tells her family. Oh, I got inseminated. That was better than, like, the... And, like, what's funny is, like, yeah, maybe... But, and then this idea of, like, her being a single mom was, like, the worst thing that could happen to her. Like, yeah. I was like, whoa, this movie is, I was like, this is not so bad. Like, I think this seems like a pretty sweet deal, whatever's happening, right? Everyone's helping her out. I don't know. The kid's pretty quiet. I feel bad about it.
He's just over there, like, moving his lips in a weird way, kind of, sometimes. Like, I always thought it was weird how the babies, like, actually kind of move their mouths. That, like, it lines up with what Bruce Willis says sometimes, and it's like, I don't trust this kid.
I knew someone who genuinely believed that Baby Geniuses was a good movie. And
wait, the first, like, one or the second one?
The first one.
We need to discern.
And he was like, well, you know, think about it. It could be like that. That's what it could be like.
Because the second one is like The Godfather 2 of Baby Genius.
Very
movies.
Good. Yeah.
They have superpowers.
I'll be honest, I don't think I've seen either Baby Genius 1 or Baby Genius 2.
Well, they're not good.
No. It's the entire idea is about, like, making super smart babies that are, like, essentially, like, combat ready as well. Like, they're, like, good at karate and, like, super agile and shit. And it's like, what's the end game here? Are we going to have the cutest World War 3 ever? Or, you know, like... I kind of like that, though.
What's that actress's name who was in Romancing the Stone and Husky Voice?
Catherine...
Yeah, something.
She was Jessica Rabbit.
She was Chandler's dad.
Mm-hmm.
Friends reference.
Anyway, it's not one of her best films. Catherine something.
Catherine something. I like the idea that none of us have gone for our phones yet. That's nice. We'll figure it out in a minute.
No, it will come to me. I'm going to shout it. Just
I can
in the
see
middle
her face.
Anybody's
I can see her right now.
Kathleen Turner?
Yeah.
Yep, that's it. Kathleen Turner.
Kathleen Turner. How's it going? I was Jessica Rabbit. I was a sex bot.
A sex bot.
Like, she has a really deep smoker's voice.
Well, it started husky, and then...
Yeah.
You can't just smoke all the time.
Yeah, no, it was like sensual. Hey, what does my voice sound like? I would totally trade having like an old grizzled like hobo voice. Like a sound like Sam Elliott or something, and then die in like 10 years. we just tell a bunch of stories by campfire and shit before I do, you know? Like, let me tell you about the time I parked in that parking spot.
I feel like Wendell has to smoke, or else he's going to sound like a 13-year-old for
Billy
the rest of his life. I mean, you could be a, like, voice for, like, a Disney child, where it's like, hey guys, listen, I gotta get to 7th grade class!
Yeah,
it's
it drives me nuts. I know it's haunted me my whole life. I appreciate we all... Yes, I'm really insecure about it now, considering I'm just talking into a microphone. And No men in my family actually have deep voices. We're all kind of struck with that. Like, even the, like, kind of hardcore redneck dudes are all a little bit high-pitched. My dad was a really good singer in, like, a choir, so
from
it's
the
like,
Carolinas.
Yeah.
That's how it is up there.
Yeah. I don't...
High-pitched voices in the Carolinas?
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Huh.
Hey, like Barney
Fife. A lot
Fife.
Of gentlemen in South Carolina sound like this.
Like Lindsey Graham. Yeah.
They'll beat the shit out of you in the bar. They're not gay.
Boy, you
don't
sound like
this. This is just how they sound.
Yeah.
Like 30% of men in South Carolina sound like that.
I consider you, Colin, one of the like world traveler people that I know. So if you say that everybody in the Carolinas sounds like that,
a lot of them,
I believe you.
All of them would be a big exaggeration, but like
maybe. But
there'll be some rough looking guy who's like a super redneck, and he's like, you know, Obama's one of them Muslims.
Yeah.
You just can't take
Hillary
it seriously.
Clinton's a lesbian, and I'm voting Trump.
I just want y'all to know.
We gotta keep them out. We gotta keep all of them out.
I noticed you ordered an apple tea. Yeah.
The Muslims.
Yeah. That is definitely the case. It's like Barney Fife. You know, that just comes way too naturally to a lot of. If you and Bernard P. Fife. I was watching a lot of Andy Griffith the other day. I don't know if you guys know this, but that is like the greatest sitcom ever made.
I don't know
that. That show. Yeah.
You made fun of me a couple weeks ago when I mentioned This Is Your Life, and your reference today is the Andy Griffith Show. So I just want to point out who's older. Technically me, but in your mind, you.
If you're listening to this podcast right now and you don't know who Andy Griffith is, I want you to stop listening to it. I don't even want your patronage on this podcast. You're a bad person. You need to go read about comedy.
Or just watch it.
Or, yeah, just...
read a number of dissertations written about the Andy Griffith
Check out Matlock.
I love Matlock.
Like, all right.
A lot of Andy Griffith's early stuff, too.
Well, don't stop listening.
You have plenty of time to watch Matlock later.
In life?
You don't have to rush that one.
No, it is forever.
Good, it's fun.
Also, the best thing is, too, like, we'll be, like, the most prepared old people ever. I mean, like, old people forever have just been watching, you know, whatever channels are on. They watch the daytime TV. They, you know, all those commercials on regular TV are geared towards them. I know because I watch it sometimes, and I'm like, who's watching this? But I guess old people, because all the commercials are geared toward them.
What's on during the day? I don't even know now.
Like Judge Judy and like...
Yeah, are there any old people shows like Murder, She Wrote or Matlock?
Right now, all that's left in the like... Well, you can have cable and you can watch lots of things, but, you know, whatever. The only regular TV with commercials that I have is the digital antenna. So I have like 10 channels, and it's like 4 PBSs, and then like NBC, CBS, Fox, and then a bunch of random ones. One's all movies, and it's all like old black and white movies all the time, every day. And the other one's 70s and 80s game shows, which I love.
Yeah.
I talk about that one all the time. And then there's another like super weird, I don't know, like local channel or whatever. And there's 2 or 3 like local
like cable access channel kind of things.
That used to be Channel Austin that aren't anymore. But anyway, when I watch the game shows, the commercials are always like old people commercials, and I think like, oh God. But I'm excited now because now I have like Netflix and like I can watch whatever I want.
Must be watching a lot of Family Feud with Steve Harvey.
Well, I mean, on the channel that I watch, it's all with Richard Dawson.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I like.
Yeah.
There's this really old game show that I like found on that. It was this like black and white TV, and it was constantly talking about the sponsor, you know, like whatever toothpaste was. And
to tell the truth?
Yeah, your occupation.
Uh-huh.
Like the panel guesses your occupation.
Uh-huh.
What an adorably quaint show that is, because like because they'll blow through it sometimes. You have no idea how many contestants are going to be on there, and like sometimes they're not even weird. But the questions they ask them are like really, really analytical and specific, and it's like, why don't you guys go solve a murder? Because like these, like the questions they ask are like so getting to the point, and like they'll figure out like a hair tonic salesman in like 3 questions, and yeah, I don't know. I was like, this is a talent that they could use in a much better way, I think, than to push, you know, Colgate.
Yeah, those are pretty wild. Speaking of what people do, Colin, what is it exactly that you do?
I am a copywriter in advertising.
Wow. So you're legit.
Sure.
Yep.
Do you have
most
like a
legit
stamp?
Writer I know.
It's not that kind.
Yeah, I know.
I do get that question a fair amount.
Really? I mean, like, is there a person? Is there an occupation where you can just walk around and like copyright stuff with a stamp? Yeah, that's like a notary, I guess.
That's a notary, but that's a different kind of thing.
That's more just like saying I saw this.
You can be a copyright attorney, but that's not really.
They don't get stamps. It's whatever. You don't get
stamps. That's different.
It's bullshit.
Completely different.
Yours has a W. That one doesn't.
Okay. I don't know why it was ever called copy, but even in like newspaper, you would say this is the copy. Copy meaning all the words. It's old fashioned, I guess.
Like a writ, maybe? I don't know.
This is the most interesting part of my job. Why is it called a copywriter? Why do you park on a driveway? You die on a parkway.
Well, I'm glad you asked. Do you have 45 minutes for me to spin a yarn?
Is that like literally an actual like problem that you come across when you're like meeting people? That you like have to have that conversation? This is like a regular problematic conversation?
As soon as I just get rid of the idea that I do anything with copyrights, it's fine. It's not usually a long conversation.
Okay. Because most people probably don't even really know what copyrights are.
Mm-hmm. Well, like in movies and TV, and even in like articles and stuff, you always see like advertising executive. Nobody knows what that is in advertising. None of us call ourselves executives ever. Ever. On any team. Account, creative, media,
it's
production.
It's on like the business card they network with, I would assume, and that's pretty much it. No?
Nope.
Exec, maybe?
It might be an account executive. That's the only person who would ever have executive in their title.
I put the word executive in my title.
Except for, like, I guess, like...
That's just it. That's just...
Executive.
On the business card, it just says Wendell and then executive. And then that's it. Like, nothing else.
And it's just a picture of you with your thumbs up.
Lots of, like, movies in the 80s that involved advertising characters. And
that's
like,
true.
We have Mad
that's
Men
all I
now,
know about it.
But from the end of the 80s until Mad Men, it was like, advertising's not real. That's not going to be a subject for films anymore. The 80s was obsessed with it.
It really was. There was a lot of movies about it. I can see why so many people went into it, because it seemed like the only career that was available.
Well, in movies, it's such a vague sketch. Like, they'll have, like, some poster that has, like, three words on it. It's like, here's our campaign.
Yeah.
And the reality is, like, you put in, like, 80-hour weeks and then have, like, reams and reams and reams of ideas, and they hate, like, at least half of them. That's what it's really like.
And it was always, like, appealing to the small-time family. Like, in the movies in the 80s, it was always, like, trying to get to the simple man, and it was always, like, trying to... like some kind of Norman Rockwell kind of presentation for like tires or something.
Yeah, I saw Mr. Mom not too long ago, which is pretty good.
Mr. Mom.
And I didn't see it until I was an adult who had already been in advertising for years and years. So I'm like looking at it through a very particular lens. But like, yeah, it's like we want to appeal to the common man. And like their advertising idea ends up being let's make the tuna fish cheaper. And I guarantee you that would not go over. They don't take advice like that.
No, they don't.
We want you to sell more of it. Well, why don't you make it cheaper? Why don't you fuck yourself?
this job goes one way. Like, the flow goes in one direction. You know? Well, I don't want to do my job, so how about you do a new job that I just made up?
It's funny. My only dealing with ad executives that don't exist... have to do with being the quote-unquote, and I say this with air quotes and saying it out loud, talent in a in like a commercial where like there's the four or five executives that sit in a soundproof room with whatever's happening coming over and they just sit and stare at us as we act, and then there's one guy who's sort of a floater behind the director who like whispers things.
Okay.
And then I'm never sure who's making the decision, but I just always have to smile and nod at every
person.
For
commercials?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, commercials that I've done, they've had, like, ad people all in the room, like, and there's the director doing stuff, and then we do whatever it is, and then he goes back into the room with them, this little soundproof room, and they discuss.
They'll have this, like, little huddle, and one looks up.
Discuss what's going on, and then he comes back out, and he's like, okay, what they want us to do. But what's funny is the lines are already written.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A lot of cooks in the kitchen. That's not unusual.
Yeah. That's my only experience with any ad people.
Let's make her do it in a Cockney voice. Like they just come back out. Like
I was going to say this earlier because you were talking about possibly sounding like a child if you didn't smoke. there was an ad I worked on that was for a children's hospital, and we wanted, like, child talent. And we had someone on the line who we had chosen because her audition was the best. Then about halfway through the recording session, we realized that she was an adult of indeterminate age. And it was, like, kind of creepy because, like, you talk to a 30- or 40-year-old differently than you talk to a 9-year-old. And it's like, I don't know what kind of direction I should be giving. Like, I can't be harsh because it's a kid. And we were like, wait a minute, I think this is an adult. And we like, kind of cornered her. And she was like, she would not tell us how old she was. She would confirm that she was a grown-up, but not say how old she was. And she's like... And it stayed in little girl voice the entire time. It was so fucking creepy.
She refused to say spaghetti right. She kept saying...
Well, that... So, whenever we had, like, complicated words, she would mispronounce them on purpose because she thought that's what we wanted. And it's like, you're a murderer. You're a serial murderer. That is what's going on here.
That's uncomfortable in every context. Like baby voices.
My agent told me that I shouldn't tell people how old I was because then I would not get jobs. That's a risk of the business. You should not lie to people. It is not okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, when you're, like, pretending to be a child actor, but really you're not a child actor.
Yeah.
How weird. How old could she be that she, like, visually seemed like a child?
No, not visually. We never saw her.
No, yeah.
This
they were
a
just
voice
like,
thing
talking.
Only. It was a radio spot. So we were remote. We were remote.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Was
I was like, I've done radio spots. They're in the room right there.
She
I've
was
met
in LA.
Them physically.
She came in pigtails and like a little giant
That's
lollipop
what I thought.
And stuff.
It was. I should have said it was a remote session. She called in. Yeah.
She's
in, LA.
In the room.
Yeah.
She's clearly 47. She's wearing
a cloak.
That's what I pictured as well. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
she's
that
got, like,
changes
a long
the story
crooked
quite a
nose
bit.
And like she's smoking a long cigarette, and she's
bit of a
like,
crone, really.
"Oh no, I'm a child. I don't
Mr. Director."
There's something about like doing that kind of thing. Like, if that's your specialty, eventually you turn into a psychopath because you're a child more of the day than you are an adult.
Maybe, but do you think, like, Yeardley Smith is crazy?
Who's Yeardley Smith?
The girl who's been doing Lisa for the past 20 years?
Probably. And that's just her voice. She's not doing anything to do Lisa. Really.
Yeah, there's a woman who does Bart, but she's adjusting her voice. Yeardley Smith just sounds like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Because she was in... She actually does a lot of other voice acting stuff. She was in, like, Weird Back and stuff, and she just is... That's just what she
Well, she was in as a... Like, she's in a few things as herself, like, as an actress.
She looks like Gelfling.
She does, but she looks like an adult.
Yeah. She's teensy.
Yeah.
Little peach face.
Well, it's hard to, you know, it's weird because you don't know. When you watch those movies, they just put people together that are all the same height. They could all be like 4 feet. If they're all 4 feet together, they look normal. It's fine. There's no big deal. That's how they do it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Tom Cruise has been standing on blocks his whole career, but like, you know, that's just because his personality is bigger than his... body.
And the Church of Scientology is in control of our perception of reality.
Have you seen Minority Report?
Yeah.
What is that old guy's name? Very old, very tall actor. So there's...
Chris Lee?
No, he's like, I don't know, Swiss or whatever. It doesn't matter.
Skarsgård?
He's seriously like 6'4", and then Tom Cruise is, I don't know, 5'6", 5'7". And so there's a scene where they have a face-to-face confrontation, and instead of putting them on a box, they just change the camera angle. And it's like, I think the folks at home may realize what's happening here. Like, the whole thing is shifted so that they would look like they were the same height.
Well, it's like, God, what's the name of that damn... Is it Hawkeye? The Marvel... he's the guy who...
Jeremy Renner?
Yeah. He's... I don't know if he himself is actually little, but I believe he's little because I've seen Scarlett Johansson, and I see them next to each other, and I'm like, oh, he's a tiny, tiny man. But they don't, like, try to make him not a tiny man. Like, he's always climbing in and out of tiny spots and, like, getting himself in and out of jams because he's teeny-tiny. So it's like, go with it, man. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, like, in an ensemble, though, a superhero ensemble, you're going to have kind of, like, a skyline effect versus, like, Tom Cruise trying to be a leading man. It's just him. Like, he doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just like Peter Jackson just went to like every studio that ever did a Cruise film. It's like, how did you do this?
People.
Or like, how did you make him look like a man? You know, like, like it's easier to like.
Listen, I gotta take Rudy and make him tiny. How do I do it, guys?
It's like, I'm just gonna put him on the back of like Johannes Hansu's shoulders or something. You know, that's all I've been doing. No, yeah, Tom Cruise. I don't care how tiny he is. He made a comeback that I never would have saw coming, and I'm proud of him for it.
I still haven't seen the most recent...
Edge of Tomorrow is the good one.
That was good. The last Mission Impossible was supposed to be good. I didn't see it, though. Yeah.
Those movies bummed me out.
That was good, and then there was an even more recent one that I wasn't very interested in, but then other like action movie people were, oh, it's great, it's great, it's great. He hangs onto a plane. Mm. He always hangs onto a plane. That's not new.
He needs to calm down. We all love him. We all love you, man. It's like you can stop like
he is over
almost killing yourself every time because like each one of these movies has like a stunt where he is like, look at me, I'm worth looking at.
Guys, he's not really hanging on a plane. Hyperbaric
chamber or something.
No, there was one where they actually dangled him outside of the plane and ghost.
Well, he's hooked onto it. You know, it's
He's not holding himself. No. But
I promise you,
that's the
he's
whole thing.
He's in a studio. It's a there's hook. A big fan blowing the air next.
No,
to him.
That's like the hook of the
he's
movies.
He's like standing on the ground and holding, going, "Whoa!"
On doing his own stunts.
You know, we landed on the moon, right? Because that is as real as this. You know, no, we landed on the moon. That was not a hoax.
Oh.
Magic can happen sometimes, Amy. He actually did jump off the thing in Dubai, too. He actually ran down that building.
It's very risky.
Movies,
I'm sure the insurance
guys.
No, it's the market. They actually use this to market it. It's like, look what Tom Cruise did for you. And, like, because they...
And he wants
cause
to
he
do
actually
it because
did
he's
it.
Insane.
He didn't need to. They're like, we have the money. He wanted to.
Well,
he did all this stuff. Yeah, like, he's like, no, I'll run down
actually.
That fucking building.
Yeah.
Maybe he's trying to run out the clock.
Well, there's a harness, and they CGI out the harness, but he's on there. That's
yeah, him. Yeah. Like, he actually does it, and they use that to sell these movies. But, again, he's, like, paying for these last two, like, out of his pocket, so it's
really?
Like... Yeah. Like, which is... I get that feel. I got that feel in the last one.
That daughter ain't getting shit now.
Maybe that's what he's doing.
Child support.
Running it out.
He's like, fuck it. She ain't getting
through. I don't feel good about the terms of our divorce. I'm gonna make some real big movies.
What are you gonna date some hot guys after me? Get out of here.
What are they gonna be
go
like?
Back to Dawson.
Some giant, like some guy like 5'9", you're just gonna go just gonna go hang out with some weird
what does he have
mythical
that
creature.
I don't, that
you
I don't
and your
have.
Jockeys, your huge, tall jockeys.
Look, that was a big 4-year-old, okay? He didn't shove me, I tripped.
Taking a dark turn.
What if that's like what they promised Tom Cruise at some point? Like, this Church of Scientology is like, we'll give you those inches. We're developing the technology. Yeah, like there's just a laboratory somewhere where they're just trying to build
He'll
him.
He'll be
like,
taller when he's
could,
in heaven with
you?
Xenu.
Like 5 more inches of shin bone and...
Yeah, I mean, couldn't you, like, mess with your bones?
I was listening to something earlier today, and there was this lady on there, and she was, like, when she was 12, I think she was, like, 3 feet, like, 5 inches. She's, like, 3'6 right now or something. Her dad is also short. Anyway, when she was, like, 13, they asked her if they wanted to do, like a stretchy procedure on her, and they would break... They'd try to do it whenever you're younger, and they would break your bones and... Like try to, like make your marrow grow.
It's extraordinarily painful. It's,
yeah, and the maximum you would be able to lengthen would be 6 inches.
They call that Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, it was crazy. She didn't do it. But
was this the documentary that you were watching?
It wasn't a documentary. It was a story, like a podcast I was listening to. This lady was telling her story.
Wow. It's mega gross.
Because her and her dad are like the same height, but everybody she has like 2 or 3 other siblings, and they're all just like taller than she is. Anyway, yeah, it's a thing. I don't know
if she's under 3 feet, doesn't that mean that she has like dwarfism or something?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, there's nothing to be done.
So what's
there.
Another 6 inches really gonna do? Like, she's nothing. Still not gonna reach the cereal on the counter.
Yeah,
I can reach a cereal at 3 feet. It's not that high.
I mean, you're probably gonna get like a little chair. I mean, 3 feet's like infant.
You can get those
well, no,
it's like half things that you see on TV.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or, like, any amount of step stool. I mean, like, I have a step stool. I'm always losing the step stool in my house, and then I'll go to my husband, who's 6'4", and go, like, what'd you do with the step stool? And he's like, literally, why would I need the step stool?
It's never me, it's always you.
I don't use it. You put it somewhere. I'm like, well, okay.
My house was built for people very slightly taller than me, but it's just enough. It's just enough to be annoying.
Okay, yeah, so I hear that. I've realized that because my girlfriend's, like, she's lived in several apartments since we've dated, and the first two were, like, I don't know, like, where the seven dwarves lived. Like, in the shower head would be, like, nose level to me.
Hmm.
Like, oh, that happens, you know, in a lot, like, of places.
They're designed, I don't know if it's, like, I guess just to save space and material, you know? Like, the roof is just lower than it should be, that kind
of
thing.
I think it's just the style of shower heads that they're using, the sort of bulk ones that they put in apartment complexes, the water pipe comes out at a certain level and, like, they just go, whatever. Because, like, my husband and I have changed the shower head, and the water still comes out. That's one section in the wall. But we have this one that, like, just angles up. And I'm short, so I pull it down. And he's tall, so he pulls it up. I think it's just the crap that they put in generic apartment complexes.
The toilet was lower to the ground. Like, everything. I swear to God, like, I've sat on every toilet that I've needed to sit on. Never, ever noticed a difference in
That's
how
a
I was
bold
sitting.
Claim.
You know, right? I've never looked at a toilet and walked away, you know?
Really?
Too short for me, I'm getting out of here.
I
want to leave this down the road as poop stories.
No,
like,
I have
really?
Done that, but I have done that.
Oh, I was like, come on.
I mean, depending on what were the situation, and yeah, that's the road you don't want to talk about.
No,
but I mean, like, literally, it, like, knees up here, like, around my ears kind of thing, like, it felt like. Like, it was just a much smaller toilet. Like, everything was just lower, and the roof was lower. Like, like, every apartment I've ever lived in, like, showerhead way above me, everything's high, everything's, like, adult-sized. And I was just thinking, like...
You're pretty tall, though. It would seem unusual that anything would be built to your size.
I think it's unusual that things were built different sizes. I don't know. I would
like
think,
at
like,
all,
yeah, I would think each apartment would just be like everything needs to be like each floor is 10 feet or whatever. Or,
well, don't you
know,
think
like,
that when they built it depends on when the apartment building was built, right? So, like, perhaps they established the average height of people in the town and then they were like, oh, 5'7". And then.
Very small.
Yeah, real small. Yeah. They were called caves, even.
Holes in the ground, actually, more or less. They were actually just as much as a body.
I'm pretty sure even cavemen didn't call them caves. That's just something we've put upon them.
It was just
them.
Their house. Yeah.
Yeah, they would have called They'd them
call
artisanal
this is where I live.
Lofts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they would have gone.
This is spacious one-bedroom loft.
Well, I mean, like, you think about different places, you know, like, when I lived in New York City, some of the apartments that I lived in were like, how is this plausible, right? And while you, Wendell, are tall, I am wide. So in a lot of these places, I've gone in and been like, how is my butt getting in the space between the wall and the other wall and this tiny toilet here? Like, and there have been lots of times when I've been like, sliding right in there, and I'm walled, I'm like, you know, thigh-to-thigh wall, going like, okay. And I don't know why they build them that way, or apparently people didn't have big hips back in the day when this building was built, but that's just what happens sometimes.
Well, see, that's the thing, is I think it's just like, they, I don't know, it seems more just up to whoever designed and built it, more than just like, if everything is one size and it's too big for any human to really be inconvenienced by it, why not just do that for everybody? Because, like, I have, like, almost broken my back in her shower, trying to, like, lean back just to get water on my hair.
You know,
like,
who else wanted everything to be the same? Adolf Hitler.
Which actually leads me to my next question.
It's about time.
Okay. Yeah, this is, we're about...
I was like,
we're
did we get to Hitler? Oh, yeah, God, we did. It's earlier than I expected.
Yeah, this is the part where we just accuse random people of being Hitler.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of how it goes.
Delia, who's Hitler to you right now?
Who's Hitler to you?
Who's your Hitler?
What does that mean?
Like, who's the villain of your story right now? Like, I have a
hero.
Nemesis. I have, like, somebody.
Or a hero.
That
you
I'm
can't
just...
make assumptions about.
Okay,
other
sure,
ideologies.
Yeah. Like, who constantly thwarts your schemes?
No, see, that's still negative.
Well, I know, but if she's the villain, then she's constantly being, like, bested by something or something.
I have, like, three people that I don't like right now, so I think all together they embody
so they're the like most a horrible person. They're like a cabal.
Part of a Hitler.
Yeah, it's
okay. Like a legion of doom.
Hitler Frankenstein.
Are these, ooh, like an axis ooh. Of evil. Okay.
Yeah.
Axis of evil. Are these people that you work with?
One of them, I feel like half the time I don't like her, half the time she's totally fine. Yeah, she's not terrible, but we just get on each other's nerves because we see each other for like 40 hours every day.
That could be worse because then you just...
Every day.
Every Sunday.
Every damn day.
Saturday.
We're developing...
40 hours a day you just did. Oh, that's shit. How much you don't want to hang out with her.
I don't.
Literally 3 hours, but it just seems like a full work week.
Oh, yeah. No, but yeah.
No, every, I have people like that where like when they speak, it's like nails on a chalkboard and you're just like, oh, I... why do you ever have to speak? Please just go away.
Yeah. But then sometimes they do something like nice or like cool and then you're kind of like you're like stuck on this fence of like, because if someone's totally shitty, it's easy to walk away.
Then they make it harder to not like them.
Fuck. Like, that sounds like a dick. Like, they just like, buy you a birthday gift or something or like get you something and it's like, shit. Well, I can't just like storm out of your life like I wanted to.
That makes me more mad.
Yeah, like...
Like, that actually exacerbates my hatred.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like, if somebody who I'm super annoyed with actually does something, like, in a sweet, genuine, nice way, and I know that I should be a kind human being and be like, oh, I've forgiven them, my opinions of you have changed because of your kindness. But in fact, it just makes me angry and resentful that they actually did that, because now they make me feel guilty for my own feelings. So they've put me in a shame spiral, and so I hate them more.
Yeah. I get that. No, that makes sense.
I just was thinking about shame spiraling.
Yeah, that's like my whole life.
First time I heard that was in an episode of The Simpsons.
Huh.
I had never heard it. I've never heard it outside of that.
The Simpsons?
Yeah.
I actually don't watch The Simpsons. Sorry, everyone in the world. I just don't want everyone to hate me now. Sorry. But like,
I'm not
doing
this podcast anymore. Go brush up on Andy Griffith and Simpsons.
Sorry.
So the only thing, or the way I'm familiar with the shame spiral is like that one bummer ride at the water park, you know, where you're like,
oh,
that's not really a thing. Where like people shout stuff at you as you're going down the tube. You know,
they do that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No, they don't do that.
Oh, that sounds.
I was like, is that what it's like to be a boy?
Yeah, Schlitterbahn, there's just like one dark corner where they're just like really German at you, and they're just like critiquing your look and like how you.
You, like, come out the end of the slide, and there's a guy with a bat, and he just bashes you, and he just smashes you in the middle, and he was like, ha, 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 asshole, and that's it. Like, you just, like, beat up, and then you leave, and you go home, and you're like...
Or, like, the ride's not even over yet. This is, like, a lazy river where he just wallops you for a minute, and then you gotta, like, do more ride for a second. It's all, like, supposed to, like, teach you something about yourself that you didn't know.
There was a guy I worked with who, moved here from Los Angeles, where he'd been for like 15 years or something, and he took his young children to Schlitterbahn, and he was traumatized for like a week.
Why? I've never
like,
been.
He was just horrified. He's like, you're just walking through pee all day.
Oh.
Just pee water.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what public pools are.
Rat tails.
Yeah. Like, that's not the first scenario. Like, I think you just have to swallow that pill. Before you even
when I lived in New York City, there was a public pool like right behind my apartment complex, and when I would go there, like you'd have to get there at the crack ass of dawn to get any bit of water. Otherwise, children and their parents showed up, and then it became people soup. And like there was no like, let me get in the water and swim my body one place to another. It's like, well, I'm wet. Standing next to these other people who are also wet.
Like penguins in this blizzard trying to keep warm.
In this, you know, big hole in the ground that we've filled with water. So glad I'm standing here. Like, it was like, I would never go to it because it was like, just pee.
Just showering with like 50 strangers.
Bathing. Not even showering.
Yeah.
Showering would be better. I'd rather shower naked with 50 strangers
because there's
than
no sitting
be in the,
thing,
the
you know,
bathtub
right, yeah.
of warm pee with 1,000 children.
I think about
thousand
that just...
children?
Bats in themselves are gross.
Yeah.
It bums me out.
Is that your, like, siren
that.
Call?
The pee of a thousand children.
Another xylophone ditty.
It's sterile.
Oh, that's really, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've never been a, hilariously, I had a troop named Water Park, but I've never been a water park person.
Yeah. I hate them.
They're not good.
Do you have a bad experience? Drops. A specific bad experience?
You're just wet walking around. You're either in water, which is fine, or you're walking around wet, which is not
cold.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like clammy and yet sunburned. And
are you a germaphobe?
No, not really.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is, like, I don't know. It's like, if it bothered me that I was, like, walking around in so much pee or, like, swimming in it, then I would just contribute myself and then feel equal. You know, it's like, all right, I'll pee in this
pee. Contribute myself!
And it's like, all right, everybody has to walk in my pee. If I'm walking in everybody else's pee, and then I'd just be like, all right, then we're all on the same ground.
Hanging out in, like, a chill pool situation. That's fine. But, yeah, public pool in the middle of summer, and it's just crammed with children.
Even the pool in my apartment complex becomes like that. Like, it's just jam-packed. It's a humongous pool, but it's, like, jam-packed with people during the summer. And it's all the, like, jock people from that live in my apartment complex. And there's a grill. And they just hang out wearing practically nothing and being tan and fit. And being like, yeah, I'm just gonna grill this steak here for me and my family. Like, and, like, everyone just uses the grill. And they all, like, hang out and, like, high five and drink Coronas together. And it's like Melrose Place for weirdos. And I just
let's never grow old.
Well, that's what happens when you're 22.
My apartment pool is just full of single parents with the kids when they have them or whatever.
Sounds way better.
Which I could honestly map out, like, the schedules that some of these parents have for when their kids when they get to have their kids or whatever. And then, like, an equal mixture of that, and then if whoever gets here first kind of owns what the pool is, like, the vibe of the pool, but then there's, like, another group of just, like, 20-somethings that, like, come and blast music and drink and, like, play beer pong, like, on a, like, inflatable beer pong table kind of scenario. Like, if you can get there and make it a, like, spring break vibe, then the single parents are out of luck, and vice versa. Like, if the single parents get there first, then we gotta all be, you know, we gotta all be, like, on our best behavior if we want to hang out at the pool.
So what if they got there first and you guys all show up and let's say there were like six kids and like an adult and then the adult leaves and then it's just like one kid left and all of you, then do you still have to censor yourself?
Wait, or who leaves the kid behind in the
just
pool?
they suck.
Parents just
they were like, it's my weekend and I wanted to have fun, and then she invited her friends over.
Well, I obviously offer that child alcohol, drug, like that kid that kid's right. Mine now, like, no, I've found an orphan, very very much like Short Round again. It's like, all right, well, I guess I'll teach you about life. First things first, you know, drinking helps you swim better, or, you know, drinking helps swallow the pain of your parents leaving you at the pool, even though, like, they live in the apartment building connected to the pool.
Even though you pretend to be the bad influence friend, I feel like you would not. You'd, like, gently take care of this child and bring him crying back to his mother, and then you'd chastise her for being a bad mother.
Yeah.
And then you'd go back and be like, some people, am I right? And then you'd crack open a beer.
And then I pretend like I don't care. I'm just like, whatever, I guess.
That should be a man.
Yeah, like, I was smoking a cigarette. Like, I don't know. I might be a
real hooker with a heart of gold.
I like how your hand gesture looked like you were whittling something.
No, that's exactly what it, like, I don't know why I was thinking either, like, carving an apple and, like, popping it in your mouth with, like,
I'm a
knife.
I'm a man. I carve.
Oh, like in Dennis the Menace.
Yeah, like Christopher Lloyd in Dennis the Menace, exactly.
Oh, I remember
I'm that doing scene. Something manly. Like, take your little child, you know, whimsical emotions away from me.
I just thought it was so funny that your, like, object work is you whittling something. Because you're like, as a man, this is what I would do.
I'm whittling him like a... like a little toy, like, that I'm gonna give him for his birthday. Like, it's still something sweet, but I'm like,
we're a soldier. You know? It's tough. Yeah.
Or I'm whittling him a new foot because he, like, lost it in the pool.
Your mother's gone now. It's just us.
Listen, Tiny Tim, I whittled you a new foot.
I have 2 feet. Now you have 3. You better wear it every day.
Here, I brought duct tape. We'll attach it to your other foot.
That left one looks like it's about to go. I'll just go ahead and lop it off. You don't have to worry
misery
about it.
Misery style.
Yeah.
Misery style. Jesus. Oh, God. So Colin, do you, as far as your career creatively, how do you feel you are accessing your creativity? Do you access it in your day job, or is that why you are do things at the theater? Is that a different muscle, or how does it matter to you?
So, advertising is theoretically creative, and it sometimes is, but it's still very much like the client wants to do XYZ, and you get to figure it out, and there's problem solving and creativity involved in that, and there's some creativity involved in like coming up with ideas and campaigns and writing scripts, but a lot of it is just grunt work, honestly.
Yeah,
a lot of it is. Like for every like most interesting man in the world, there's like 700 really shitty other things that I'm not coming up with good examples for. Think of the boringest ad that you can't remember right now. That's what most of it is.
Yeah.
Like ads for like new medicine are always just like a doctor in a doctor's coat, and then I see like a number one in big number. Like I always see like number one.
Pharma really pays big. Really well, yeah. But no one maybe wants a butterfly. To do it.
Oh my God! I saw a crazy pharma commercial today about a new sleeping pill where they've personified the words wake and sleep. Wake is a dog and sleep is a cat. And like
that makes no sense.
When you are when you go to sleep, when you like want to go to sleep, if sleep is something you're going to get, the like cat comes and like curls around you. But if you're not going to sleep, then the dog that's made out of the word wake.
How does the medicine work?
I don't know.
Dogs
I mean,
and
that's
cats,
not...
mainly, their bones ground up.
No. I mean, like, you know, it's one of those commercials that are like, if you have trouble sleeping, take this pill and it'll help you sleep. Will probably cause dependence. This is the new Ambien.
It'll help you find that...
But...
it'll help you find that elusive cat that is sleep. I've been taking a lot of these pills. I don't know what I'm writing anymore. Awake is a dog...
But, like, it's creepy to look at, like, they're weird sort of, like, CGI puppets. Like, I can't tell if they're an actual puppet or if it's a CGI, and both of it's horrifying. And it's just super weird. And I just, when I realized what was happening, like, I watched a little bit of it, and I was like, wait a minute, is that cat shape say sleep? And I was like, oh, my God, what? And then I called my husband, and look at this shit. So, I mean, weird, right? Mm-hmm. And... The idea that someone put all this effort and, like, work into this, like, silly idea, it's so wild.
It's like...
He's gonna be like, yeah, I wrote that.
Well, pharma is extraordinarily heavily regulated. Hmm. So, like, you have to talk about almost all of the negatives. You have to. Even if it's a scroll.
But you mean, like, show people that are happy and stuff.
You
while
can,
it's happening.
I mean, without lying, you can show whatever you want. Yeah. But, like, it ends up, because there's so few things you're allowed to actually say, so few guarantees you can make if you can't prove them, you end up having some idiot metaphor, like, cats are asleep, dogs are awake, because that's all they can get away with.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it is just, this could make your liver explode. You're going to poop yourself to death.
This could give you dog body.
Your eyes will turn to blood.
Yeah.
They have to say all of that stuff. It's a rule. And I think it should be a rule. But it doesn't leave you any wiggle room to make something cool versus, like, you know, deodorant or Cheetos or something.
Well, Viagra
those
has,
are the fun
like,
things.
I would love to write for Viagra commercials.
God, they're so bad, though.
I know. That's
you
what's
fun. You do
have fun.
To say all the bad things, though.
I know, and like having it come out of like a sexy like 35-year-old Asian lady, like the like most popular running one right now. It's just like her walking down a dock barefoot in like a nice, in like a really pretty slinky dress, and she's just talking about how, like basically phrasing it like if your dick worked, this would you'd have this, and then like yeah, all of a sudden
if your
like,
dick
they,
worked,
yeah,
interested to see that.
But then she's if you listen to the full commercial, which is like broken up into like several chunks. And yeah, and then like the little breaks where you're not looking at her, where they'll say like, you know, 4 hours, call the doctor. All
so
that
this
stuff.
Is like all this can be yours if you take the pill.
And then
kind
yeah,
of.
And yeah. then yeah, because she and it's I love it too because she's not too young, Like, she looks like maybe like late 30s, early 40s, because like that's
their who's audience. Doing it with Viagra
dance. Yeah, well, that's their audience, is like older guys. Yeah. So it's like they don't want to feel creepy.
Well, older guys, but woman. Who would like to bang someone younger, but if it's too young, then they'll feel weird.
Yeah.
So it's like she could be 30 or 40. No one knows. She's not 20, so it's fine.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's not Taylor Swift being like, Viagra, it's great and very helpful to my career.
Yeah, like the Jonas Brothers. Like, hey, how's it going? I know that sometimes you're macking on a girl, and no, that never happens to us. We're very young and everything's great. But we heard that sometimes it doesn't. You know, and just like talk about it like they're never going to experience this. That's a bummer. That makes it sad.
Sometimes you're just fucking all your bandmates in the green room. I don't know, Viagra's cool, whatever. I like money.
One time we saw our grandpa.
I like money.
I didn't read the script.
I have to do this because I ran over an old person.
There's a helicopter waiting for me. I'm done. I'm done with the recording session.
My dick works. What do I need to say here?
I am always erect. I'm never not erect.
I'm constantly... part of my lines here say that if you have an erection longer than 4 hours, sweet that you should call a doctor, but I've had an erection for the last 18 years. I thought that was fine.
It's what got me this job, so...
What's hilarious is that, like, men love erections. I mean, I get it. I get why you would like erections. But, like, nobody else thinks about it. Like I don't know that I've ever in my daily been like, erections. Like, sure, when they come up,
I don't know that I love
erections. It's like, I deal with them in the moment or whatever. Yeah. But it's, like, so funny how, like, I don't know, when guys talk about their dicks... They talk about them like that's literally what everyone's listening, thinking about at all times. That like there's nothing else in the world that like has ever entered your mind except for these thoughts about dicks.
Sometimes it is.
And I'm like no.
Tight group, like a bunch of redneck dudes sitting around, like that joke is in everybody's mind just because they're all lying to themselves on some level or another. But like
what joke?
Like the dick jokes, because like a lot of my redneck friends are back home just. There's a lot of, like, ass-slapping, dick jokes, like, gay chicken kind of stuff. And it's like, this is you guys working your own shit out right now. Yeah, like, you're all laughing, but you're all crying on the inside a little bit.
There was some, I don't know, column on some stupid website, it doesn't matter which, but it was like, here are all the things you've always wanted to know about guys but never asked. And it was, like, all about dick stuff. And, like, got savaged on the internet because, like, all the women were like, I don't care about this. I already knew that. This is dumb. No one cares. Point by point by point by point. And it was like, yeah, we get pregnant and we have periods. So what's... All of that stuff is stupid. All of it is stupid.
But you want to know about our dicks, right? Like our dicks are very complicated machines. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're
mechanically they are complicated.
I mean, I mean it's pretty.
That doesn't mean they're fascinating.
And it doesn't mean that there's. I don't know. I wouldn't say it's a bittersweet relationship. It's pretty love hate sometimes. You know, like you're burdened by it just as much as you're like excited about it. I think you're bummed. Like I don't know.
Well, like, every guy that I've ever known has some sort of laundry list of ways in which he could make it better. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're like, well, you know, if I could get an extra 6 inches and like 2 inches of girth. And you're like, what the fuck? Who do you think you're talking to?
That is a lot.
Like, what's happening right now? Like,
I could have sex with that elephant over there. Like, what is what is this guy's end game? I could murder people with my penis.
There's always a series of things that you know, guys are looking for.
I
feel like every guy that I've ever been with has told me his laundry list of wants and needs for his dick.
I've always thought about, like, if something happened and my dick were lopped off, like, in an accident or something, like, I just didn't have that anymore.
Dark. Yeah. It's dark.
I have no idea. It's 50-50 shot on whether, like, I would either kill myself or become the best version of me I ever could have been. Like, all of a sudden, like, that wasn't holding me back. Like, just that, the dumb things that my dick would lead me to do won't be there anymore, and that drive isn't there, so all of a sudden I can, like, focus on, like, what I've always, like, all the stuff that I really wanted to do, because, like, dick overrides.
You know, I think about that sometimes, because we've talked about this before, but I'll bring it up again. I didn't have sex until I was 25, and I was busy doing theater and working jobs before that. Like, I was an adult person doing things, and after I had sex for the first time, that's all there was for me for two or 3 years. Like, it was just like, what? I can do it? And then, like, that's all that mattered for a long time. And, like, I understood sort of the high school insanity, because it's like, oh, right, right after you do it, you're just like, oh my God, let me do it 1,000 more times.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you do, and I just waited later to do it. But I always wondered if the action of it or the doing it made me then, and because, like, after that, I can't, like I used to just be able to have friends. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, just talk to people about whatever. And now, like, as soon as the floodgates of sex were opened in my brain, like, now it's just, that's all I think about. Like, even now. Like, though I think now is a little different, because it occurred to me the other day that technically age-wise I'm in my sexual prime, and I was like, oh, no wonder I'm like a 17-year-old boy. Like,
yeah.
Because, like, I remember when I was a kid, they used to be like, oh, sweetheart, don't worry. These boys are just in their sexual prime now. You won't get that until your late 30s. Well, it just occurred to me that I'm in my late 30s. And apparently that means that I'm in my sexual prime. But that just means that I'm like a 17-year-old boy. So, like, I'm always like, I'm just thinking about it all the time. And it's ridiculous. And I always wonder, like, if I, not that, like, I didn't ever want to have sex, sure, of course we all want to have sex, but, like, in the interest of those people, like, for instance, you know, people who go into the religious life or go and actually just abstain for however long, like, can they get more done?
I mean,
are they, like, better?
Now, we got a good pope right now.
Sure.
A solid pope.
Sure, definitely. He's a good pope. He's done a lot of good things. He's real nice people. Doesn't seem to be needing
Never.
Anything wild, right?
Yeah.
But that's what I think about. Like, I think, could you accomplish more?
Well, see, that's the thing is, like, I don't know if, like, choosing not to have sex is enough, because I feel like, that's why in my hypothetical it was, like an incident that removed this from me, because, like, I think I would need the chemicals out of my body that, like, are a part of the sex drive as well.
So in this case,
like,
you'd have to have your testicles removed as well, because that's where the chemicals are, right?
Well, definitely. I don't want to keep the testicles. Even if the testicles weren't removed in the accident, I'd be like, take them off. That's the weirdest looking
really,
thing.
Really? It's better the other way, though.
Just balls hanging?
Like, you can do just fine with no testicles, because they'll just give you hormones.
So okay, but that'd be like, tuck them up
then.
Into me, I guess, or something.
You'd have
just
a choice
having
then.
The balls hanging? That would
no,
that
what
would
I'm
be...
saying is flip it.
Oh, keep just the dick?
Keep the dick. Doesn't
just
matter.
Like,
yeah. Because if you want hormones, you can get hormones. You can get injections.
Okay.
You can't get a new dick. Well, not
every... Well, you can get a new
but
dick.
But not every
Well, see,
one.
That's the thing. Is like, I feel like if I had the dick, then I'd think about the times where the dick did something. You know? Like if I kept my dick... I think I'd just want to just
you
get
mean,
rid of all of it.
You mean like you'd keep it in a jar?
No, I just mean, like, keep it on me. Like keep it on
oh,
my body.
Oh, if it became
you
non-functional meant, like, in an accident in some way?
I think you were asking, like, just removing the testicles and leaving the penis
if
on
if
the
what
body.
You were wanting is to not be constantly tortured by thoughts of sex and, like, being distracted all the time, you could be chemically castrated, which is reversible.
You know, as a kid, I always thought that meant they poured acid on it.
No.
I know.
I still think that. Really.
I literally thought they just held you down and, like, melted it off with, like, hydrochloric acid. I assume, there's just, like, a cocktail that you take.
Yeah, they neutralize your hormones.
See, like, that's the thing is, I think, like, the sex drive is really the thing that needs to be taken away, not necessarily, like, like, I think anybody who's holding off on sex is either, like, asexual, which apparently is a thing, unless... I'm still on the fence. I think everybody's messing with me. I think this is, like, a giant prank against me. But regardless, like...
I think the longer you don't have sex, the more... the easier it is not to think about it.
Okay, yeah.
Because, like, it really... like, I did not think about it when I was, you know...
Yeah.
Doing my first few years of 20s. Like, it was just, like... I was not, that wasn't what I was focused on. I wasn't dating, I was like going theater job to theater job. I was just trying to do theater, and it was more important to me. Also, like, come on, I had crushes on 1,000 people. Nobody was interested in me, so I wasn't getting any, so I wasn't worried about it. I was like, I'm in love with that guy, he doesn't love me, next. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
but,
you'd like take that, like, all the energy that's coming from, like, your biological imperative to, like, breed and just, like, put it into seminary or, you know, whatever. You know, like, just put it into, like, whatever you know, you want to focus on.
I just did a lot of work. You know what I mean? Like, I just focused on my career and was like, because I didn't want kids right away, so I was like, okay, well, let's just get this work done. And it just didn't even occur to me. I really feel like if somebody was like, hey, you want to have sex, I probably would have said yes.
I feel like,
but, like, nobody was asking, so I wasn't, like, trying to push to make it happen.
You need to let the air out of that balloon a little sometimes. You need to, like, find some way. I don't think, like, I think ignoring your, like, that drive forever, I'm sure it could work for a while, but I feel like it, like, that's going to turn something ignoring, inside like, of you. Like they don't like you develop a kink or something. You'd like something.
It depends.
Like you're. I feel like most. I just feel like the human body is set up to like want.
If you do it, that. And that's the other thing. I had a conversation. My husband actually was going to be a priest before we met, really, and he in high school he knew he was going to seminary and went out and had sex before he went to seminary so he could be like, all right, well, at least I did
it
one
time. Okay. That. Yeah.
Right? Oh, I didn't know that. And then he went to go do it. No.
You just have to not ever again.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, you could be married with kids and then your wife dies and then you go become a priest.
You have to kill your children, though.
No, okay, you don't.
Well, I'm a Catholic expert, okay?
I'm a Catholic expert, okay?
You'll pick them up in purgatory on your way.
It'll be fine.
You have to just them. Yeah, you just have to give them to
but
the
I
church.
Really just think that, like, I don't know, it didn't occur to me. When it did occur to me, I was like, oh, I should take care of this, and I went and took care of it. But it was like, I don't know, I was too busy doing theater work. I was too interested in getting jobs and working and doing all sorts of stuff.
That might be more on the male side. I just think, like, because, like, it's different urges on each side. It's like males are, like, driven to, like, go find something to penetrate, and women are more about, like, taking care of something, you know, like, raising a life, so it's, like, it's more just us convincing you to let
us
do that.
I think hot garbage.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's just, it's very, I don't know, it's very simplistic, and, like, I don't know, like, I find it very difficult to meet people. Like, I have very good friendships, I have a strong social life, but I've been alone a lot more than I've been in relationships. Mm-hmm. And, like, I've brought that up in, you know, various situations, and I've had two people be like, well, maybe you got low T. And it's like, the fuck are you talking about? Like, it's not that I don't experience desire.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just I am not good at the stuff you need to be good at to get someone to go sleep with you. Like,
all you have to do is ask.
Flirting,
really.
I don't know how to do it. When people flirt with me, I often don't know. I have to be told later. And it's like, why didn't you tell me then? Why are we having this conversation now? Anyway, there's like a bunch of things I'm not good at that would make it easier.
Does
to
it frustrate
laid.
You? Have you like?
Oh, like it definitely frustrates
it. Oh,
me.
Oh yeah.
Hookup apps help.
sure.
But I mean that's just because it's a cheat. You don't have to be able to read the situation. You just type things.
You literally just read type the words things. And the pictures. Almost.
I went on a ton of internet dates when I lived in New York City, and I went on like first dates with like hundreds of people.
That's
great.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have a lot of second dates. A lot of first dates.
Dates are hard. Yeah, first dates are usually bleh.
Sure.
And then somehow you have to get to the second one. I don't know. It's dating kind of horrible.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, especially if you're, as far as, like, internet dating in the 90s? Early 2000s?
Early 2000s.
Early 2000s, like, that's different than, like, Tinder. Because you said hookup apps, and that's, like, I think that's different than, like, a dating app, like Tinder.
Oh, no, I dated off of Craigslist in New York City.
Awesome.
All Craigslist, all the time.
I was hoping it was one of those things where you, like, make a video. Like, they used to make fun of them on Mad TV.
No, like, on Singles?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I never did that.
Hey, my name's Amy.
I never watched that.
Ah, great 90s movie. If you like 90s music and you're a big fan of Cameron Crowe, watch that movie. There's like a dating thing where they make a video and then other people watch the video. I've never ever seen one of those dating videos, and I never made one ever. I just wrote nicely worded Craigslist ads. I would write one nicely worded one and one dirty worded one and then get all the responses I was looking for.
I mean,
the nice dates and then the sexy dates.
Did somebody ever reply to both?
Sure.
Like the same person.
Like, whoa! Like they show up like, hey.
No, I didn't like set up 2 days. I did used to do that though. I'd set up like 2 dates in a night. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, well, listen, I can meet you at 7, but I have something going on at 10, so like, can we just have like a quick drink? And then we'd do that, and I'd be like, okay, thanks. And I like leave and go meet another person at like 10 p.m.
Do you ever cross wires and like hilarity ensue, like in a sitcom?
Yeah, sitcom stuff.
And we get like, you accidentally invited them both to the same ball or something, and you gotta change clothes.
You have to switch sides of the bar.
The only time like that happened was one time I had a like Saturday day date in Central Park, and the night before I had gone out to a bar and picked up a young Russian man and brought him home with me, and then in the morning he like fell in love with me. God. And I was like, all right, listen, everything's really nice. You need to get on the train now. And I had to like get to my other date. Like I had a date at noon and I was all like, okay, great. Mornings are super. All right, let's go get you out of here. And then he was like, let's spend the day together. I want to be with you. Why can't? And I'm like, okay, all right. Well, that's real nice.
Flattering.
Super sweet of you.
Inconvenient.
See you later. And then I immediately started dating the guy that I went.
Yeah.
Like the guy that I went on the day date with. We like totally fell for each other and it was like a year of dating that guy.
And that frustrated Russian man went on.
Poor Russian Misha.
Vladimir Putin just went on and got hard, like cold hearted and grizzled.
Yeah.
And that was the night that I fucked
Vladimir Putin.
Coming for you, America. Amy, I miss you so.
He made me call him Misha, but, you know, his limb was Putin.
You know, when I was robbed, the guy who robbed us left a graduation ring, like, on the floor.
You were like, robbed by Ted Cruz.
I was thinking, like, that's what my roommate said. I was like,
did he lose his or something?
I want to be the Batman to this guy's whatever dumb calling card that is. Like, I'm the graduate.
Ted Cruz
something.
Wears his fucking Princeton ring constantly.
On his pinky?
But wait, the thief left his own ring
in
her house?
It was,
oh my god.
Okay, and here's the thing, and this is like me watching
I would have put
Sherlock
that on Miss Connections immediately. You came to my house and stole all my shit. Me holding
you.
Your fucking ring right here. Hope it had a lot of memories. I'm about to put it in my dog's ass. Have a great day.
How are you going to tell your high school sweetheart you want to go steady?
Your lacrosse team sucks.
All right, we should wrap it up.
Yeah.
Thank you, Colin, for being with us.
Thank you for
it was
having
really
me.
Nice to chat with you. Hope life is exciting. I don't know what to say.
Yeah. I don't know. When you said like the whole world traveling thing, I was like, yeah, but it seems like everywhere they send you is like a place I'd never want to go. In
oh,
the
work
place.
Thing
so, like,
was always Albuquerque. Yeah. But yeah, I do travel for fun.
I hope they do send you to a place that's yeah like cool. Sometimes.
Well, there's no they anymore. The contract expired.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
You're so cool anyway.
Thank you.
People will hire you all the time because you're fun and cool.
For my own enjoyment, I'm going to New Orleans for 3 weeks in May.
Yay!
And I'm just going to live there, and hopefully I will have work. Or I'll die.
Great!
But I can do theater things there.
Yeah, you can go do theater things there.
With our sister theater.
That's right. That's so nice.
Thanks for listening. To the Yes But Why podcast.
Good. Awesome. Fun.
Thanks for listening to the Yes But Why podcast.